amazing bumper there. It's so good. What Pastor Tim didn't tell you is that every time we catch up, it's like a different country. Catch up in Melbourne, they catch up in KL, they catch up in South Africa. It's been like a, he's like a global pastor. But hey, thank you so much for having me here in your first service in 2024. Thank you, Pastor Tim, Teresa. It's so good to be here. You know, I grew up in Malaysia. I'm here with my wife and my daughter, Mayan, Rachel. We've got two kids that are wandering around KL by themselves here as well. And it's so good to come back. I feel like I've been constantly eating, which is great. You know, I love the Every Nation movement. And in particular, I've been watching your services online. I love how this church is so intentional about everything it does in the way it runs its service, in the way you run various programs. And so I actually wanted to be very intentional about the message that I'm preaching today. So let me pray. And we will get started. Father, help us, Lord, to take our lives seriously. This breath that you have given us, Lord, I pray, Lord God, that we will be intentional with it. Lord God, this life that you've given us, Lord, that it would be set apart for you, Lord God. So I pray even as I speak, Holy Spirit, would you use my words? Would you fill this place with your presence and online where everyone is? Lord, I pray that even online as they watch this, that you would speak to them powerfully. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this year in 2024, you are going to learn many things, right? The year's just started. You know, you're doing holiness, right? And holiness, learning about the holiness of God will have the potential to radically change your life. You know, how do I know that this year, if you are serious about the holiness of God, your life will change? How do I know this? Well, how about we do this one exercise? So I want to get everybody engaged. I'm pretty casual pastor, Australia, right? Very casual, right? How about we do this? Ask yourself this question, right? How many of you, put up your hand, if you are holy like God? No hands? Yeah, so we're not holy like God. God is great. God is not us, right? And so then when we look at the holiness of God, when we study the holiness of God, when we let the holiness of God inspire us, we change. So I actually think there's going to be a lot of change in you as you become more and more Christ-like, as the Holy Spirit sanctifies you towards holiness. But this is not guaranteed to happen, right? So my message today is called Call to be Holy, and you're going to learn many things, but this is the problem I want to tackle today. I want to help you with as you begin this year. What happens if you've got a good solution? Do you know, like, what God is? God is good. You know the right thing to do, right? But somehow, it's not really working in your life. Have you ever had somebody has given you the correct answer, but it has done nothing for you? Like, say, I've now been married for 25 years. I think back on some of the life advice that I got given when I was younger about my marriage. And now after 25 years of marriage, I've learned that advice was very good. So it was the correct answer. But in my early years of my marriage, I didn't listen to it. I didn't follow it. So it produced no fruit in my life. You know, what about when somebody tells you, like, a healthier way to live, right? Or when a doctor gives you good information or advice for your medical condition, right? If you don't do something about it, sometimes just the solution itself may not be enough. So even if the advice is good, even if the preaching, today's sermon or next week's sermon is so good and God gives you, like, an amazing, like, insight into the Word of God, there's a chance that it can do nothing in your life. It's possible even to get the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ given to you, and then nothing happens to it. This hit home for me last year when I came back after, like, maybe 10 years of not visiting Malaysia. I caught up with my friends, some of whom I grew up in church. Yeah, and so some of my friends I haven't seen for 30 years. And we grew up hearing the same messages as a kid. We heard the same, we were same Bible study, we all loved the Lord together, right? Then I come back 30 years later and my faith has just gone stronger and stronger. I went and studied the Bible, I learned Greek, Hebrew, right? And some of my friends, most of my friends, they've left the faith. They no longer go to church. And I think, wow, we heard the same things. But why is it having different fruit in your life? And let me tell you, this is a very serious topic because it's possible to come to church and there's no fruit in your life. So I want you to think about what is something that is so good that somebody has given you insight into your life, you've got a good solution, but it's just not doing anything in your life. What is that thing that you're struggling with? Why is it that 100 people can get the same correct answer and only a few will do it and get a result? You know, Jesus, he tackled this in a very famous passage. It's as if the seed is very good, right? It's as if you get a very good seed. Even the good seed of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ comes onto you. And then, for some people, it grows into 100-fold. And other people, that good advice, that good solution, that great sermon that you're going to hear next week or the week after, whatever it is, it is crowded out and it dies. You know, I'm sure you've heard this verse in Matthew 13, 3 to 6. It's so famous. And when Jesus says it, everybody goes, oh yeah, of course, we know this. He told them many things in a parable saying, a sower went out to sow, right? And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And then the birds, they came and devoured them. Then other seeds, they fell on rocky ground and they didn't have much soil. So they came up, you saw a little bit of fruit. Then it didn't have much soil and immediately they sprang out. And since they had no depth of soil, and the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Then the other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Then other seeds, this is the one that we want to pay attention to, right? Fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So he who has ears, let him hear. This year, you are going to hear a lot of good stuff. A lot of good seed is going to fall on you. But actually, there's no guarantee that just because the seed is very good, it's going to produce results. And so that's why in the beginning of the year, I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to talk about your inner culture. Now, if you're taking notes, inner culture is like your soil. It is like the culture, the thing that goes on inside you. It's like the soil that the seeds come on. So if somebody gives you advice and your inner culture is like of pride, right? You're like, I know everything. I'm the boss of everyone. And somebody gives you advice, really good advice. You just say, don't worry, I'm not going to take any of that advice. Then your inner culture, something about who you are, right, kills that good advice. And it produces nothing. You know, in a laboratory, so inner culture, just think of it like soil, right? But the word culture actually has like a laboratory connotation, right? So if you're in a lab, you know what they do, like how they do the vaccines or how they do like antibiotics or whatever, right? They put things into a special concoction, right? A culture. And so then if it is good, what it does is it helps that thing to speed up the bacteria or the germs or whatever. It helps it to grow more and more, faster. But there are some concoctions that actually will kill the thing that you put in. And so that's called a toxic culture. That's how we get the terminology. Whether a culture makes something grow or thrive, or it kills it. I remember I went over as an overseas student when I was 15. And in my stay by myself for the first time, right? So when my mom came to visit, after 3 months, she discovered all my clothes on the floor, right? But also, I had a cup of coffee that for 3 months, I never cleaned it. And it was the perfect culture to grow a forest, right? So your culture can grow all kinds of things, right? So your culture can be actually healthy or toxic. Because human beings, we have this capacity to do something that we call normalizing. So as a human being, we can see something that is not normal, actually. Actually, normal people don't do it. But we do it all the time. That is normal for us. then when it becomes normal for us, it's invisible. It becomes our culture. So for some of us, right, it's normal to watch like 4 episodes of Netflix in one evening. It's normal to have like 10 hours of mobile phone time, right? It's normal to have supper at 11. Like our family went to Jalan Alor at like 11 p.m., right? It's like, it's normal to eat supper so late, all right? It's normal, fry kway teow for breakfast, whatever it is, right? Like, there's sometimes in us, we can take something that actually may not be healthy, may not be good, but we do it so often, we're like that the fish that are swimming in the water. We don't know what water we're swimming in because it's just the air that we breathe. It's every single time we see it. And so what happens is, as human beings, we then have to be very careful about what we've normalized. It's normal, actually, for me to be a Christian, and I never read the Bible every day. I just don't read the Bible. It's normal for me. And so now we've made it that prayer and Bible is not a normal part of our everyday. It's just become our culture. And it's so hard, actually, to know what is the true condition of our soil. That's why Jesus tells this parable. It's more the parable of the soil than it is the parable of the seed. The seed is good. And so at the beginning of this year, you have to ask yourself, hey, what is the true condition of my soil like, right? Sometimes we don't even know. So I'm going to now try to narrow down in one aspect of your soil. Okay, so I'm a very long-winded preacher, actually. So I'm going to take you on a bit of a journey that will end up in holiness, right? One part of your inner soil culture is, what is your motivation? What motivates you on it? You can't see it on the outside, actually. So it's so hard, actually, today, all across the room. How am I meant to know why you came to church today? It's so hard to tell for another person what is their motivation. Is it because they want to see their grandchildren? Because they want to meet a girl? They want to do like whatever? You know, like who knows why you are here? Your mother forced you to come, you know, whatever it is, right? Like today, don't worry about that. I'm going to give you permission to not worry about what other people's motivation for coming to church is, because that's very hard to do. Let's work out, what is your motivation? Why are you doing the things that you're doing? And you'll discover, actually, that it is quite hard to figure out even your own motivation. You think you know why you're doing it, but actually you don't know the real reason why you are doing it. So can I give you a bit of permission to be a bit self-focused, right? Our motivations are very, very powerful. You could have two people in the same place, go to the same church, learn the same things, but they're pointing in different directions. One can't wait to leave church. I can't wait to finish all that my parents forced me to church. I can't wait to go home, play computer games or whatever it is, right? And another person is still at that church, but oh man, I can't wait to get to the Bible study. Hey, I heard they're praying. I heard we've got a lot of things. You fast forward 5 years, 10 years, each person will move, right? And then your motivation, like your inner soil, like your inner culture inside that nobody can see, will eventually produce the fruit, right? So I think it's really important. What I want to help you with is to understand in your motivation, it can be divided into external motivation and internal motivation, right? So internal motivation, I understand, is like you yourself, you want to do it, right? You genuinely feel motivated to do something. Right, so you enjoy doing your hobby, right? You're working on a project together, you really like it. External motivation means someone else wants it more than you, so they're gonna give you a reward for it. They give you a promotion, they pay you money, whatever it is, and they externally motivate, or you're so scared of being scolded by your mother or whatever, so you just do it, right? That's external. And so I wonder, actually, and hoping that in your discussions or things like that, you actually take some time at the beginning of the year to figure out, hey, this year, what are my motivations? Am I coming to church? Am I going to God for an external motivation, right? Or is it something I really want to do? Let me give you an example of an internal motivation that you may not have thought of. One internal motivation is actually trauma. Sometimes we're motivated by the things that have happened in our lives, that have gone wrong in our lives. So you, maybe one time you you talked in class and then everybody laughed at you, so now you don't want to talk anymore. Or you tried very hard at something and then you failed, so now you're like, oh, I don't want to try anymore for anything. And you discover actually in life that sometimes a lot of your past and your issues, they shape how you're motivated to do stuff. So like, say for myself, you know, Pastor Tim, talk about my Disney, like, right? Motivation. Turns out, liking Disney is an internal motivation for me, right? I really, like, for some weird reason, in my house now, I'm the only person who watches cartoons. Every one of my kids and my wife will not watch Mickey Mouse with me at all, you know? And I wonder, why? Why is it like that? Because when I was 15, I left Malaysia to go to university. So I actually crammed year 11, year 12 into 6 months, and then I was in university very young. So I graduated by 18, and then I did a postgrad at 19, right? And so I was like, I felt like my whole childhood was accelerated. I started working early, then I did chartered accounting, then I did an MBA, right? And so I've done all this like academic stuff, and I felt like I missed out on my childhood. So now, this year, I turned 50, 50-year-old man, and I still cannot understand the joy I get from watching cartoons. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, right? But that's the power of your motivation. If you don't know what drives you and motivates you, it will cause you to do things and you don't understand it at all. So as I finish, I want to talk about what should our motivation be? How can we change our internal motivation, right? There's lots of things that we can do to help you change your external motivation. Maybe, you know, Pastor Tim can give you free food when you break fast at the, you know, on the Friday night meeting, right? So maybe you come for the nasi lemak or whatever, right? But it's so hard to change your internal motivation. So what should our motivation be? And this is where we get to the main passage of today in Psalm 96, 1 to 9. Our main motivation, actually, the Greater Catechism actually says that the chief aim of mankind is to glorify God. And so in Psalm 96, you catch a glimpse of that. It says, oh, sing to the Lord with a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples. You can see this person's motivation is towards God. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord, He made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all families and peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. You know, God is holy. He is set apart. That means He is in a category all on His own. He is unlike any other person. You know, I wish I could explain more about the holiness of God, right? But I actually don't want to steal the thunder away from this whole series and the whole year. You're going to be learning a lot of things. So what I want to prepare you for is when you learn those things, it hits your soil correctly and those things grow, all right? So I want to help you take the good seed that you're going to get this year, because I already know that God is great. God is good. This verse says God is great. Great is His name. So if you learn things about God, you learn things about the holiness of God, I guarantee you that is a good seed. That is a good influence in your life. The holiness of God affecting you will be good for you. It's like the correct answer. But if you don't have the right motivation, if you don't have the right inner soil, that correct answer may produce no fruit. So how do we practically, because God Himself is holy and He's set apart, how can we practically be motivated towards God? And so I want to end actually by pointing you to the one motivation that has transformed my life. And you might think it's only just for pastors, but it actually applies to every person. And that is a profound understanding of what is your calling. What are you placed on this earth for? What have you been called to do? And it's not just something that pastors, oh, I have a calling to go full-time. It's not that. It is your purpose for being here, right? There's actually two meanings of the word normal. I used the word normal before to say, you know, we normalize a lot of things. But the second meaning of normal is actually the standard. So when a doctor checks your heart levels or your cholesterol level or whatever it is, there's normal, right? And then there is unhealthy, there's abnormal, right? And if you use the second meaning of normal, you will discover that it is normal for human beings to be made in the image of God. That actually, our purpose, our calling is to be Christ-like. Normal for us, that means a normal human being should love, should have joy, should have peace, gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit should come out of a normal human being. And it's not normal, it's not good, it's unhealthy for you to have bitterness, resentment, envy, or it's not good, it's not normal. And so your calling is actually to be Christ-like, to be like God, to be holy. You're actually called to be holy. So our motivation can actually come from this deep sense of calling. And so sometimes, for me, right? I'm like, oh man, my life is always so serious. I rush through my education. I'm doing all these things, right? And then I'm pastoring a church. Everybody's like, all these responsibilities. And I understand. I'm happy to do the responsibilities. I'll do funerals. I'll do marriage counseling, right? Sometimes though, I'll be like, oh man, I can't wait to go back and watch my cartoons. Which is so tired. Don't bother me with like that, right? And then I remember what is my calling. And then I go, actually, I'm not made to watch cartoons. That's not the purpose of my life. And it makes me able to do what I do with an inner motivation. Because I then see that I'm called to do God's purpose. And I'm actually designed to be the kind. So now I pastor an Asian church where, I'm quite an academic. I read 2 books a week. I've got 2 master's degrees. I do it right. And so I actually chat with many parents who force their children to study a lot and do it right. And I'm able to talk with them because I've gone through that, right? And so I've discovered that actually my unique history that maybe has caused me a bit of trauma, right, has led me to this moment where I can actually fulfill my purpose and my calling in life. And that could be you, right? Because calling is linked to your identity. And so I want to challenge you actually to think about how you see yourself. I don't know if you've ever read like Atomic Habits or some of these other books that are out there, right? There's a difference in your motivation if you say something like, you know what, this year I'm going to stop smoking. I'm not going to smoke anymore. Versus, I'm not a smoker. I am not a smoker. This year, I'm not a smoker now. Now I've got my big revelation, I'm now not a smoker. They found that the people who say, I'm not going to be smoking, I'm not going to smoke this year, and the people who say, I'm not a smoker, right? A huge difference in the results. So instead of saying, oh, I like cycling, I go cycling, if you say, I'm a cyclist, I am a cyclist, rain, shine, whatever, I'm a cyclist, you actually end up doing more cycling. And so if you say, hey, I am a Bible reading Christian, it makes a big difference compared to saying, I'm going to read the Bible next week. If your identity is, I'm a Bible reading Christian. So I want to remind you about some of these verses actually that are in Scripture. Because can I leave you with this? Do you see yourself called to be holy? Do you see yourself as somebody who's normal is to be like Christ, more and more like Christ, set apart, right? 2 Timothy 1-9 says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. You, not just the pastors, each one of you have a holy calling. And not because of your works, not because you are so good, you went to all the classes, you did all, right? But because of God's own purpose. He designed you actually. His own purpose and His grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Last week's sermon here was on grace, right? And the grace was given so that you can move towards Christ-likeness, so that you can live out the purpose that God has given you to do. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You're actually a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the experiences of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Did you know God's word calls you holy, calls you set apart? So do you see yourself as that? So that when you get good words of God, it comes onto your soul. You go, oh, you know what? This is very good because actually I'm already holy, right? I'm already set apart. So this thing that comes into my life, it's just what I needed. It has hit the correct culture that is going to make it grow. 2 Peter 1:10, my last verse. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent. You have to work at it. Be more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. So before we begin this year and put all kinds of good seed into our lives, let's make sure that our motivation is correct, that we're motivated internally by an understanding of who we are and what kind of a person we are. And then so then we'll allow that seed. So do you know your calling, right? You know, your calling is not just your job. It's not your mother, father. It's your calling in Christ. And some of us need to remodel our motivations and our inner world. That's why I really like the fact that you are doing fasting next week. You know what? Food can be your motivation. The wrong one. So put it aside. Fast and then realign your motivation at the beginning of this year towards God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for calling us to a holy calling. Thank you for creating us with the capacity to be Christ-like. Thank you, Lord God, that you are holy and you have called us to be holy and that you are a good example. So I pray right now, Lord, for every single person here, may we join with you in holiness, Lord God. May we commune with you. May we be with you. Help change the very nature of our soil so that we are holy ground for your seeds. In Jesus' name, amen.